stand for the reading of the Word of God in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you and praise you this morning for the service, the presence of the Lord that we have felt in this place. Thank you for every soul that's come this way this morning. May your blessings rest upon each one. We need you, Lord. We need your presence. We need your touch. We need your help this morning. Father, we ask you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pray that our time would not be wasted here. God, we'd give glory and honor to your name. We exalt and lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, may souls receive the divine help that's needed in their lives. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise. We ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on potential disciples. God has a recruitment program in process, and in fact, that's what Jesus was doing in his ministry on earth, recruiting souls to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciples of Christ is what the church is designed to create or to make. That Jesus told his church, he said, I want you to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. This is the program of the church, is to make disciples of all nations. We're not just to get people to sign cards. We're not just to dump them in pools and get them wet. We're to make disciples of all nations, followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus is looking for disciples in my text. He's still looking for disciples this morning. Jesus is looking for disciples in this congregation right here. Jesus is looking for somebody who will follow him with great commitment. And, you know, Jesus is looking for somebody to follow him with unrestrained commitment, wholehearted commitment. Jesus is looking for disciples this morning in this service. Discipleship is not an option. If we're going to heaven, we got to follow Jesus. He's the only one that knows the way there. And if you're going to get to heaven, you've got to be a disciple of Jesus. You've got to follow him because he's the only one that knows how to get from here to there. Only one that knows how to get from here to heaven is Jesus, so we've got to follow Jesus. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is what that rich young ruler was interested in, eternal life. And Jesus said to him, this is the essence of what Jesus said to him, follow me. Now the problem with this rich young ruler was that he had something standing in his way of following Jesus. He had great wealth, he had great riches, and Jesus said, I want you to sell all you've got and give to the poor, and come follow me. Because eternal life was in this decision to follow Jesus Christ, and his wealth was in his way. And I want you to understand, whatever may be in your way this morning, it's got to go. Jesus has got to be the most important person in your life. This is the essence of eternal life. Jesus said, come, follow me. The mark of the disciples is that they follow Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it means, first of all, that we follow Him in the sense that we commit ourselves to a lifelong process of learning the ways of Christ. We commit ourselves to a lifelong process of learning the thinking of Jesus Christ. We want to think like He thinks. We want to know what He wants us to know. It's important that our minds be changed. You see, before we come to Jesus, we are in darkness, and the devil blinds our minds. But the Bible tells us that we're not to be conformed to this world, not in our thinking, not in our ways. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed, how? By the renewing of our mind. God wants us to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We are to sit at His feet. We are to learn from the Master. We're to think like He thinks. We're to walk like He walks. We're to be followers of Jesus Christ. So in following Jesus Christ, we imitate the Master. We see how He lives. We see how He walks. We see how He talks. So we're to imitate the Master. Jesus is our example. We are to imitate Jesus. So we're to follow Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if you follow Jesus Christ, listen to me now. We live in a day where there's such rudeness and coarseness in society. People have learned from Hollywood and learned from movies and learned from those people in the world who have no concern for Jesus Christ. And there's a coarseness and a rudeness in our society, a coarseness in our language, and people in the house of God are using words that used to saints of God would have cringed to use those words. But seems like now that we are losing the consciousness of the holiness of God and the holiness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is seeking for disciples. Somebody that will follow Him, learn from Him, imitate Him, talk like He talks, and walk like He walks. Jesus is looking for disciples. But being a disciple does not just mean changing your lifestyle. It does mean changing your lifestyle. You must change your lifestyle to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You cannot walk as the world walks. You cannot talk as the world talks. You cannot dress like the world dresses. You cannot go to the places the world goes and be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it demands a lifestyle change to be a disciple of Jesus. But not only does it demand a lifestyle change, listen to me now, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is a life of service. You see in my text here that Jesus said to this man, follow me. He said, Lord, I want to go first and bury my father. He said, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. I've got something for you to do. Every disciple has got something to do. Jesus wants you to live a life of service. Why are people bored with life? Let me ask you this question. Why are people so bored with life? Why are young people so bored with life when their life is non-stop entertainment? Why are they bored with life? Why are they taking their lives? Why are they committing suicide? Because they don't have no purpose in life. And a life of pleasure is a life of boredom. A life of pleasure, you see, when a person lives for pleasure, they're never satisfied with it. Always looking for something else, a new thrill in life. When the thrills run out, then life is over with for them. But I'm telling you that Jesus will give you a reason to live. He'll give you a purpose for living. Serving Jesus is not just a lifestyle change. Serving Jesus is a life of service to your fellow man. There's a job for you to do in the kingdom of God. There's something Jesus wants you to do. And you know, sometimes we get to the place where we think, what can I do for Jesus? My body's breaking down. I can't go like I used to go. I can't do like I used to do. What can I do for Jesus? But I'm telling you that everybody in this place can pray. You hear me? Everybody in this place can pray. You can affect the world by your prayers. And Moses saved a whole nation by his prayer. And you can save souls by your praying. And you can change lives by your prayers. Moses saved a whole nation by his prayers. God has got something for you to do. God is looking for disciples. He's looking for somebody that will follow Him, imitate Him, serve Him, live their life, a life of service. You listen to me. When you live your life just to satisfy yourself, you never satisfy yourself. You're always trying to satisfy yourself. But when you live your life to satisfy the Lord Jesus Christ, hear me now, when you live your life for Him, when you can say with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain, when you live your life to serve Him, to please Him, that is a satisfying life. When you're living outside of yourself with Jesus as the focus of your life, and you're living to please Him. These people that Jesus is talking to here, three of them, potential disciples, and all of them wanted to give Him conditional commitment. But no disciple can give Jesus conditional commitment. One man said to Jesus, I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. I'll go wherever you go. Jesus had a word for him. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, what is Jesus saying to this man? He's obviously correcting some misconception this man has about following Jesus. Perhaps he thought, like some people think now, that following Jesus is a life just of ease, no problems, no troubles. And Jesus is correcting the misconception this man has about following Jesus. Jesus, when he was born, there was no room for him in the inn. But as Jesus began his earthly ministry, traveling from place to place, Jesus provoked rash responses from people. Some people loved him. Some people hated him. He's dependent. You see, he's going from place to place. He's preaching the gospel. And no doubt many of the places that he went, there was nowhere for Jesus to lay his head. And this man said, I'll follow you wheresoever you go. Jesus said, look, this is my life. This is the kind of life I live. Will you be willing to follow me wheresoever I go? Conditional commitment. Look at the second one. Jesus said, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus did not accept that. He said, let the dead bury their dead. I got something for you to do. I've got a work for you to do. You let the dead bury their dead. You go preach the gospel of the kingdom. The third one, Jesus said, he said, Lord, I'll follow you, but... Here's that but. You understand? This is a conditional commitment. I will, but here's the condition. I got to go home first. Bid them farewell which are at home. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, brother and sister, hear me this morning. In order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't put any conditions on your commitment to Jesus Christ. If Jesus will bless me, I'll follow Him. If Jesus will prosper me, I'll follow Him. If Jesus will heal me, I'll follow Him. If Jesus will give me a better job, I'll follow Him. No conditions. No conditions. Jesus is saying, I want you to come. Follow me right from where you are, under the conditions you're in. Come, follow me right now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. I want you to come right now and follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God. An unconditional commitment to the Son of God. All of these people had conditions on their commitment to Jesus. The three Hebrew boys that went to the fire, you know, they would not bow to the king's idol. Nebuchadnezzar was angry because these guys would not bow to the king's idol. He had prepared a furnace of fire, threatened anybody that didn't bow to that idol, he's going to throw them in the furnace of fire. He said to those boys, I'll give you another chance. They said, we don't need another chance. We're not going to bow to your idol. God is able to deliver us out of your hands. But if not, here's the crux of the matter, brother and sister. If not, if God don't deliver us, if God don't bring us out of the fire, if the fire consumes us, if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve your gods, and we will not bow down. And this, my brother, is the unconditional commitment that God is looking for out of your life. If God solve my problems, I'll serve Him. Hey, suppose God don't solve your problems, will you still follow Jesus? You got to decide what Jesus is worth. For these people, He wasn't worth saying goodbye to Father. He wasn't worth saying goodbye to family right now and following Jesus. There's some things I want to do first. Some things I got to get out of the way first, you know. Got to graduate. Got to get a job. Got to get married. Got to have a family. Got to retire. Got to do all of these things. And then I'll answer the call of Jesus. And Jesus says, no, you can't do it that way. I'm calling now. I'm asking you now. Come now. Follow Jesus. Without conditions. No, after this and after that, after my father, after my wife, after this, after the other. No, no, no. Jesus is saying no, no conditions. And come now and follow Jesus. Here's the rich young ruler, you know. And Jesus is addressing him and he said, what must I do? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he said, I've kept them from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said to him, you lack one thing. Can you imagine standing at the judgment of God and God said, you lack one thing. One thing is keeping you out of the kingdom. One thing barring you from heaven. You lack one thing. What was it that young man lacked? You know, when Jesus was talking to him and Jesus said to him, keep the commandments, and he said, I've kept them from my youth up. The Bible says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus loved that rich young ruler. Jesus knew that in a few days, he'd be going to an old rugged cross and shedding his blood for that rich young ruler. He'd be dying for that man. That's how much Jesus loved that rich young ruler. He loved him good enough. He was going to die for him. But I'm telling you, He loves you that good too. Every one of us sitting in this place this morning, Jesus loves you that good that He went to the cross and died for you. What did He hold back? Nothing. Jesus held back nothing. He gave His all. He gave His life for you. He suffered shame, reproach on the cross of Calvary. Great suffering that Jesus went through for every one of you here this morning. Jesus held back nothing. So He looked at that rich young ruler. He loved him. He said to him, go sell all you've got. Give to the poor. Come, follow me. And the Bible says that the rich young ruler turned and walked away sorrowfully because he had great riches. What is this story telling us? Here's what this story is telling us. This rich young ruler, this successful young man, valued his wealth more than he valued Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must value Jesus above everything on the face of this earth. He must be more important than father and mother. He must be more important than husband or wife. He must be more important than jobs or money. Jesus has got to be more important than anything in your life if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus. Suppose you think, well, preacher, you shouldn't be telling people such things. Keep people out of the kingdom. Do you know what's happened in the American religion? We have offered the kingdom without the commitment. And really what we've done is close the door to the kingdom. Because you cannot get into the kingdom unless you're willing to make the commitment. You know, I wouldn't be married this morning if I'd gone to the altar with my wife and said, well, when they said, will you take her for better, for worse, sickness and health, poverty or riches, I said, oh, well, in health, in riches. But that other stuff, for the better, yes. But that other stuff, no, probably wouldn't be married this morning. But you know what I did? I made an unconditional commitment to that young lady. I said an unconditional commitment. I'll be there in the good times and the bad times. I'll be there for better or for worse. I'll be there in riches or in poverty. I'll be there in health or in sickness. And I made an unconditional commitment until death do us part. And brother, that's the kind of commitment Jesus is looking for out of every one of you this morning. He's looking for us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, I'll lose my job. It'd be better for you to lose your job than to lose your soul. Say, preacher, I'll lose my friends. It'd be better for you to lose your friends than to lose your soul. Say, preacher, it'll cost me too much to follow Jesus. Hey, listen to me. It's going to cost you too much if you don't. Conditional commitments don't work for disciples. It has to be an unconditional commitment to Jesus Christ of your life. And many people feel like it's a great loss to answer the call of Jesus. And there are people who have suffered what seem to be great losses by answering the call of Jesus Christ. There have been people that lost their jobs because they can no longer live, work under those conditions that required them to do things contrary to the Word of God. People have lost their families over their commitment to Jesus Christ. And sometimes we think about those people, we think that was such a terrible loss. But Jesus said to Peter, when Peter heard what Jesus said to that rich young ruler, go sell all you've got, give to the poor, come follow me. Peter said, Lord, we have left all and followed you. What shall we have, therefore? And Jesus said, there's nobody that's ever left father or mother or houses or lands or brother or sister, but in this life will gain 100-fold more, and in the life to come, everlasting life. Hallelujah. You never lose by answering the call of Jesus. You always gain. You always gain. If I can say this morning, for me to live is Christ, I can say for me to die is gain. And when we can say that for me to live is Christ, Paul said to Timothy, he said, godliness hath promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Hallelujah. You won't never lose when you commit your life, your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano this morning. I want to give an altar call for anybody in this place that might feel their need of Jesus this morning. I know that Jesus is here in this place looking for disciples. And He has commanded us to go make disciples out of all nations, followers of Jesus Christ. There may be some in this building this morning that maybe at some point you've made that commitment to Jesus Christ, but you're thinking it over now, sort of debating whether or not it was worth it to say to Jesus, I'll live for You, Lord. I'll live for You when my soul is singing. I'll live for You when my soul is downcast. I'll live for You, Jesus. I'll worship You. I'll praise You. I'll honor You. I'll serve You when everything is going good in life. But everything's not going good now. And what are we going to do with Jesus now? What kind of commitment are we going to show to Jesus now when things are not going so good? Will we still praise Him? Will we still worship Him? Will we still serve Him? Will we still pray? Will we still obey Him? Even when life is rough and hard and people don't appreciate us, when we're persecuted, will we still love Him and obey Him even in those times? It's going to pay off, children. Oh, it's going to pay off. Those three Hebrew boys, somebody said their faith got them out of the fire. Oh, no. It was their faith that put them in the fire. It was their faith that made them willing to go to the fire. You hear me? I said it was their faith that made them willing to go to the fire rather than to deny Jesus Christ. But listen to me now. If those boys had backed down, if they had bowed, they would have dishonored the name of the Lord. But when they went in that fire, when they were willing to sacrifice their lives, when they were willing to suffer, to obey God, Jesus stood with them in the fire. The king noticed it. He said, hey, didn't we throw three men in that fire? He said, yeah. He said, I see four men in that fire. The fourth one is like the Son of God. It was the Son of God. And He was walking in the fire with those three Hebrew boys. They brought them out of the fire. Not a smell of smoke on them. Their garments unharmed. Their bodies unharmed. King Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest king on the face of the earth, saw the miracle working power of God. Sent word throughout his kingdom. Nobody's to speak any word against this God. The God of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. It's not a God like Him. Anywhere, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They glorified God because their commitment to Him was unconditional. If not, we're not going to bow. If God don't deliver us, we know He's able to, but if He don't, we're still not going to bow. We're still going to serve God and obey God. Is that the kind of commitment you've got this morning? Listen, Jesus is calling. Come, 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 follow Me. Whatever it is that's hindering you, He says, sell it. Get rid of it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till Daddy dies. Don't wait till you get all your family things in order. Then, you know, after this, after that, after the other. No, no. Jesus says right now, come and follow Me. I want you this morning to stand with us. I want you to get up out of your seat. Boys and girls, young men and young ladies, moms and dads, whoever you are in this place, that Jesus is a calling you this morning. Don't put it off. step out right now. Come to these altars and make a commitment to Jesus. Jesus, I'll live for you. Jesus, I'll serve you. Jesus, you died for me. You are unconditionally committed to me. And I'm going to commit myself to you and live my life for you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. There's some in the altar. There are others that would like to come. Seek the face of the Lord this morning. Make a commitment to Jesus. Jesus, I'll serve you. I'll follow you. I'll learn your ways. I'll learn to think like you think. I'll get in that word. I want my mind to be transformed. I want my life to be transformed. I want my life to make a difference. Will you come while we wait just a few moments here? Are there others that would come, step out, move into these altars, and let God help you this morning? Souls in this place, you've struggled, you've made, you've debated, you've wondered, and what will I do? And Jesus is saying, now come now and follow me.